The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 541. On the podcast today, I have FairFX, that's FFX ticker, CEO Ian Stratford-Taylor. He talks about their recent positive trading update in which they say one of the busiest times in the company's history was around the Brexit vote. Very interesting here. I've listened to this company. And Ian, by the way, gives us three reasons why we should add them to the Vox Markets watchlist. And I think you, if you listen carefully, you will be persuaded. Also on the podcast, oil and gas sector authority Malki talks about two companies, FAR, which is listed on the ASX, but he sees a lot of potential there, and Pantheon Resources, P-A-N-R. Also on today's podcast, the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets watch list over the weekend. This is a good judge of sentiment. People are following these companies. Why are they following them? And I got to say, we do try and get on the podcast. Every company in the top five, we try and get them on the podcast. So it's a good sign there that they are, you know, they are getting publicity and they're getting noticed. And also on the podcast today, one for your watch list is suggested by Draft. It is Starcom, and that's S-T-A-R. I'll give out the reasons why Draft think this company has potential in a bit.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chief Executive Officer of FairFX, and that's FFX ticker, Ian Stratford-Taylor. Thank you for coming back on, Ian.
Thank you for having me, Justin.
Now, you had a nice little trading update. We'll go through that in a bit, the highlights from that. But first and foremost, for anyone who's not aware of what you do, Ian, could you give us a summary of what FairFX is all about?
Yes, of course. We are an online-only business that essentially provides all the FX needs, ranging from travel money through travel cards, currency cards, all the way through to wiring money abroad, in one easy-to-use platform, which you can access either via desktop or via app, which is increasingly becoming the norm. So a one-stop shop for an exchange.
Yeah, well, apps are the way forward. I mean, do you know what? There's a report out today saying for the first time ever, more people are now banking using apps than websites. So, yeah, and I assume once somebody's got that app on their phone, then they're quite sticky. They're quite loyal, are they?
Yes, they are, and that's part of the reason why this year, actually, we effectively, sometimes you have to take a step back to go forwards, and we upgraded our app to a new platform such we can add more functionality much quicker into it, and we're already doing that. We've added a lot more into it. We're adding more in the coming months. So, yes, apps are the way forward.
Definitely. Okay, so let's go through some of the highlights from your trading period. It's for the 6 months up until June. The 30th there. So can you highlight to me, it looks quite good here. Are you happy with it?
I am happy. In fact, if you go through the various announcements we've made, you know, the first 3 months of the year, you saw sterling being quite weak. There was various terrorist events that were happening, stopping people travelling and people just sitting on their hands in terms of making decisions about where they were going to travel and also buying the currency. Then we've had Brexit, so there were various headwinds for the business in the first 6 months, and you're seeing some sort of travel-related businesses and airlines now reporting their various travails in that period. So against all of that, we've accelerated, and you know, the second half of the first half, if you will, so the second quarter of the first half was notable for acceleration. So we're very happy with where we are.
Yeah, so I see turnover for the first half of 2000 up 9% year-on-year basis. And yeah, you were saying that it's one of your busiest weeks, wasn't it? Around the Brexit area.
Yes, it was. It was quite an astonishing process that week. We saw a sort of realization amongst customers that that the pound, if we'd voted to remain, as I guess most of us thought we might, that the pound wouldn't go up much. It might have gone up a bit. But if we voted to leave, that it would come down a lot, which has actually happened. So we saw a lot of people last minute buying of euros and dollars, etc., in the run-up to the referendum itself. There were even pictures in some of the newspapers of queues, you know, at Bureau de Change, etc. And then it was incredibly busy during that referendum day and overnight. It was insane on on the actual night of it when everything became clearer, and very busy for the day after. And then I think suddenly there was sort of, it all got a bit quiet for a day or two while people had digested what had happened. And I think consumers now are realizing that the pound is in the kind of 118 to 120 channel against the euro, and they're getting used to it. And so they're busy again.
Yeah, it's just that acceptance, I suppose, isn't it? And, you know, yeah. I think people thought at the time, it's almost, when the announcement came out, people felt like, you know, we're heading off the edge of the world or something. And then you realise, hang on, even if this Brexit is going to happen, we started to realise it's going to happen over a couple of years, you know, and things evolve. They don't just drop off like that. And so, yeah, and so it's amazing to see that people are really busy there. So take us through, as a customer, for example, to give us the customer experience with Fairfax. How does it work? If I want to get some money and I've seen your offering there and I like it a lot, what do I do? Just go over to the website, get the app, or what's the deal there?
Either. Part of what we did this year was to make it so that it used to be that customers could only become a customer via the website, but now they can do it via the app. So the whole, you know, a big part of what we do is the marketing element to tell people about us and that there are alternatives when you're doing traveling abroad. And then the second thing is to make it as easy as possible to deal with us. So you've hit upon a very important point there. So we're constantly reviewing, you know, where there is friction in our sign-up process or user process, seeing where we have drop-offs, changing those web pages or app functions to make them smoother. It's a never-ending process, but a very important one.
Yeah, and so let's say I download the app. So how does it work? How do I sort of deposit money with you? How does that work?
Yeah, well, it depends exactly what you want to do. But let's imagine you want to take, you go into Europe and you want to use our Euro currency card. Mm-hmm. You'll simply go to the site. We don't need much information, but we do have to verify that you are who you say you are. So it's called an online Know Your Customer or KYC check. It's not a credit check, so it leaves no stain on a credit record. So that's all done online kind of immediately. So we need name, address, date of birth, home telephone number. That's all we need. No scanning of passports or anything inconvenient like that. Once we have that, we verified your identity. It's then as simple as every time you want to put some money on your card, you pay us using your debit card typically. We convert it into euros and drop it on your card. That simple. And you can top it up. Let's say you're at a restaurant, you've got 100 euros on your card, the bill's 150 euros. You can top it up via your app instantly whilst you're wherever you are and pay the bill.
Yeah, that's a lot easier than what I've been doing.
Well, you know, I would say to you, Justin, and anyone listening that even if they don't invest in the stock, they should become customers.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't understand. Yesterday we had a nice trading update, and the share price pulled back a bit. But do you know, if you look at the chart, do you ever look at the chart at all of the stock price?
Yes, I do look at the chart, and I try not to read too much into one day's movement. But overall, you know, the stock's been very steady for a while. We've had a raft of good news, and you know, I'm confident that we'll have more announcements to make in the coming months. So, you know, all we can do is keep doing what we're doing, which is moving the business in the way we said we'd move it.
Yeah, well, I like to look at a chart, and I don't know if you know, I've got technical analysts on the programme, or chartists, essentially, and so I've learned quite a bit from them, and there's what's called a 200-day moving average, and it's a very good supportive line, and if the price is above this, essentially, on a simplistic point of view, it's in an uptrend. If it's below that, it's in a downtrend, and unless it's coming from below, of course. But your price bounced off that, which is good support, and that's a good sign. So, okay. Yeah, and so you'd say, I mean, from an investor point of view who knows about charts, they'd look at that and say, that's a good sign. That you can see, like, that support there, I'm at 29 pence, is very good, but yeah. And it is still above the 200-day moving average, which is a very bullish sign, essentially. But like I said, on a fundamental level, you are happy with the trading update, everything seems to be going in the right direction. And yes. It's odd why this dropped off. I think people attached you to Brexit and without actually reading your trading update.
Well, yeah, and there were one or two articles that seemed to make that, you know. Well, we appeared, you know, people saying that we had good results, but, you know, travel-related businesses as a whole are suffering. So maybe we just got caught in that sort of overall tide. So, you know, We outperformed other stocks that were considered to be more relevant to that. But I think it's worth making the emphasis here that the most rapid growth that we're experiencing at this company right now is not on the retail side anyway. It's on the corporate side. Mm. And the corporate side is not determined by, overseas travel. It's also a product that can be used in the UK. And so we're not a one-trick pony, and there's far more to the business than that. So I expect as time goes on and the penny drops a bit more with people that it'll become clear that this is too low a price.
Yeah, and also, like I said, you are in a growing area, as yet. I'm not, a technophobe. I like tech, but still, I haven't migrated onto using apps for currency, exchange. And so, there's a huge market, I suppose, out there still untapped, isn't there?
Yes, there is, and I think one, silver lining of there's a few silver linings of Brexit, but one of them is that the realization amongst the typical man on the street of where sterling is against certain foreign currencies has heightened, because yeah. There's been a lot of coverage of it, still is, about where we are, and also it's become heightened that once the pound went to 1.17, 1.18, there were some airports around the UK offering you €1 to the pound. I mean, it's outrageous. So it's helped raise awareness that there is an alternative when you're traveling. You need to go online, you need to plan ahead, you need to do exactly the same as you would with car hire or even booking the flight, and have a look about. And anything that helps encourage that activity helps us.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose that's where I suppose leads on to, because you're right, everyone, people, that was one of the big things. I mean, and also still now, I mean, the FTSE dropped, then it bounced back because they realised the FTSE was made up of companies pretty much, earning money in dollars of international. And so that bounced back. FTSE 250 is still bouncing back now. I mean, I think it's back above where it was at pre-Brexit levels. But I mean, people were more aware then that the news agencies were focusing on the strength of the pound. And so you're right, it was in people's consciousness. And I suppose then people think, hang on, I'm going to holidays in a couple weeks' time. I've lost 30, 40 quid or whatever, or 50 quid. And so they were hunting around. So as far as marketing, how do you market yourself?
A variety of means. I mean, as we sit here now, we still do quite a bit of TV in the peak period, which is now and June. And the reason for that is that if you look at the search terms for the type of things that we do, there's still not enough people going online to look for that type of stuff. So partly there's a behavioural change element that we have to do our bit with in terms of making people aware to go online. And then once they're online, you do digital marketing. Yeah. And so over time, I see the mix of TV versus digital shifting more for us towards digital as people become more aware that, I think it's second nature for all of us to go and book flights online. So the same will eventually happen with currency. It's just going to take a little bit longer.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Ian, well, listen, if anyone needs, any more convincing as to why they should put you on their Vox Markets watch list, could you come up with three bullet points, please?
Well, I think we've probably covered them in one form or another, but the key, first of all, is our USP, and the reason we'll succeed and others won't is, we've got competitors in various areas of what we do, but what we do is pull all of these things into one platform. You can order travel cash, you can take currency cards, you can wire money abroad, all via one platform, very, very simple to use. Easy to become a customer, easy to use, and we've got outstanding scores for customer service. So there's a solid business there. We're also, number two, as I mentioned and as you've mentioned, we're growing. We've got exciting plans for what we want to do going forward. So it's a growth company and a growth stock. And every time we've said we're going to do something, we've done it. Third and not least, we are innovative. We've radically changed how quickly we can deploy new technology. And I think that's vital because, as you've just said, vis-a-vis apps, and there's all sorts of new stuff coming along. You've got to be at the forefront of it. And that's where we are, and that's where we'll continue to be. We invest heavily in making sure we do it. And the fourth point is, as I mentioned, if you're not going to invest, please become a customer. Fairfx.com.
Thanks, Ian. Lovely. Chat to you again very soon.
Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is oil and gas sector authority. It's Malky. Good morning, Malky. All right?
Morning, Justin. How you doing?
I'm all right. Yes, a bit underwater after the weekend. Went to a little shindig there. And I can't drink anymore. I may just give it up, I think. I just feel underwater, you know? I just feel it's a slow motion, almost.
Yeah, well, let's perk you up for Monday morning, shall we?
Yeah, well, what are you looking at, Malky? Let's have a look at a couple of stocks here.
Yeah, just a couple of stocks which are in the bucket list, and something specific is either about to happen or has happened. I want to talk about FAR, F-A-R, which is an Aussie stock I've talked about before, and my bloggies know it very well. It's a participant in the big offshore discovery, offshore Senegal, and in there are also Cairns. The stock is the stock came back a little bit. I was a little concerned because there was a farming into the acreage by Woodside. Woodside took out Conoco's 35% stake, and the market thought that it was quite a low price. But in fact, although it is low, I think there are two things that listeners should watch out for. First of all, you know, if it's that low, can and or far can preempt. They have 30 days to preempt. So all of a sudden, this could change things for FAR if they decided to get a bit of backing and preempt it. So, yeah, that's a 30-day. We've probably done 8 or 10 days of that already. So holders should watch out for that. I think it's pretty bullish. Second thing is, of course, that Woodside have gone in there in order to kick on and operate and deliver soon. So those two factors, along with the fact that I'm expecting a significant upgrade in resources and a declaration of commerciality sometime in the next 3 or 4 weeks, makes me remain very confident about FAR.
Marvellous. Okay, and if people want exposure to that, how do they get that?
Well, it is an Aussie stock, so you have to buy it in Australia.
Yeah.
But in fact, you know, it's not that difficult.
No, okay. All right, and the other stock you're looking at, Marky?
Just wanted to talk about Pantheon, which has got back down to it's got a trading range at the moment of between about 135 and 182. Mm-hmm. Sorry, sneeze there, Justin. And and that trading range is pretty solid. And at the moment, it's been down the bottom of the range because nothing particular is happening. But in fact, there are two things coming up. First of all, any time in the next couple of weeks, I expect them to start fracking their first well, which I think might triple the potential production from that well, which would be very good for them. The second thing is that there was a small asset play. Pantheon actually got the opportunity to buy into another 8% of this stock in last week, and because there was a reorganization of ownership of the other half, the Vision half. So that's very good news. They got a fantastic deal on that. So that's good news. And the other thing is that they've got a well going down any minute now. It's drilling at the moment, but results any minute now. And I would expect that to look pretty good. I know it's only an exploration well, but I'm very positive. So yeah, remain keen on Pantheon.
Yeah. Well, good. Just looking at the chart, if anyone's got a chart there, what they need to put on there is a 125 moving average. A friend of mine who's a good technical analyst said, use a 125 as well as 200, because a lot of people use 200. But if you look at that, the price consistently bounces off that. Even back in 2016, start of 2016, it did it January, February. It's doing it again now, and it's at that level now. So like you said, it's a good range at the moment. So worth looking at.
Very positive indeed on that one, Justin.
Marvellous. Malky, thank you very much. Have a nice week. Speak next week.
Yeah, look forward to it. Bye now.
Okay, here are the top 5 most followed stocks on the Vox Markets website over the weekend. At 5, Farum Crescent, FCR. At 4, UK Oil and Gas, UKOG. 3, in fact, Asia Met here. It's been hanging around here in top 5 for a while now, and the share price is up today by about 10%, one of the biggest rises of the last few days. ARS, ARTH, of course, is a ticker. At 2, it's a new entry straight in, CloudTag, CTAG. And I'll be trying to get those in the podcast, if possible. If you know the CEO's email address, or you can get in contact with the company, let them know. I want to get them on the podcast. And number 1, Straight in there, out of the blue, from nowhere, it's Strategic Minerals. SML is the most followed company on the Vox Markets website over the weekend, which shows a good bit of sentiment there. Okay, it's time for one for your watch list, suggested by Draft, and this company is called Starcom, ticker STAR. What does the company do? GPS vehicle tracking, container ship tracking. How many shares does the company have in issue? 135 million. What's the current share price and market cap? It's about 2.7 Dubai, 3.57 million market cap. 5 million revenues, and it's just moving into profits. How much cash or debt does the company have? No debt. Sorry, I got a bit of windy pops here. No debt, about 600,000 from old placing and cash generated. And there's three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, fruits of cost cutting and streamlining. Number two, macro environment favors security products. And three, interest from Expo in Mexico, could see big contracts coming in, such as Starcom Group, STAR. And if you can convinced by that, put it on your watch list, do some research. Nothing we say in this podcast is meant as investment advice. Please do your own research, and the best way of doing that is adding to your Vox Markets watch list, and you can get RNSs straight to the front screen of your phone whenever the company releases an RNS. Thank you for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.